let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. We'll start in verse 1, but first I'm going to have Jack pray for us. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking a little bit about the Ten Commandments and how the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt. We'll start in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So that's saying that he has brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, because at the time they were slaves for the Egyptians, and the Lord said he took them out of the house of bondage, and Pharaoh and all of them were wicked and evil. And we'll look at verse 3 now. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Let me say that again, sorry. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. That's talking about how you don't worship Buddha, false idols. You right. Worship the Lord. He's not, if people are doing, they're giving, they got statues and they're giving, it's crazy because they think they're praising the Lord by giving their kids to snakes. They think that's going to do something for them. In other countries they do that, and also people give their own food just to Buddha, but they think he ate it, but he didn't. Because all he is a stone. That's it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to help them. If someone got shot, they're not going to help them. He's not going to help them heal or anything like that. Look at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. That means kids out here these days don't honor their mother and their father, and they're out here doing bad stuff, and they're not honoring them. And their mom and them are saying, if you're not gonna honor me and you're gonna obey my rules, then you can't live here. So kids are out in the street these days doing a bunch of stuff. And we'll look at verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. That means you don't go up to someone and just stab them because your flesh feels good.
Yeah. Amen.
Verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So we'll just keep reading there. verse 15. We're not going to get into that. That's for another basic stuff. Thou shalt not steal. That means not to go into a store and steal, because some people these days, they don't work for their stuff. They steal it. And then they get... Looting. And this world is getting wicked, and the Lord needs to come back soon.
Yes.
Because we're in these final days that the Lord is going to come back and he's going to reign.
Yes, sir.
And we need to be prepared. We need to do whatever we need to do here as Christians and get out there more. Verse 16, and I'm going to have Aiden, stand up, please, and read verse 16 out loud.
Kids, take it over.
Okay, that's good. 17, thou shalt not covenant thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covenant thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in the neighbors. So that's saying you don't covenant. That means, covenant means to steal something from your neighbor. Or like, if someone is married and you take their wife or whatever, like that, I'm just using an example. Okay, and then we'll, so Exodus was just kind of like stuff I was looking at the basics. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel. Uh-oh. Oh, no, sorry, Psalms. Sorry. I'm sorry. We'll get to that in a minute. Psalms 100 and, just 100. Just 100. Yeah, just 100. And it says, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So that means when we get in heaven, who's ever from that land or wherever, we're gonna make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're not going to do that. We're going to be excited. We're going to be praising the Lord for what he's done. And some people, like, they're not out here witnessing. And people are, that's a soul lost. That's, they're going to hell. And we need to get out there and start giving people tracts. Like, I get anxiety. Like, right now, my anxiety's through the roof.
Ain't nobody
gonna
tell.
After that, talking about how, personally, some of us Christians get scared. We're out to the mall or whatever, and we're eating at the food court, and there's this couple that we don't know if they're saved or go to church or anything. And my mom's like, here, go give them a track. And I'm like, okay. I get there, and I'm like, okay, I got this. No, I don't got this. And I walk straight back. And after that, she's like, what'd you do? And then I was like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't. And so if Philip or my dad's here, he's like, give me that. I want to do it. So he walks up, gives it to him, talks to them. They laugh, have a great time. they don't even know, but they just, it's fun meeting new people and telling them about the Lord. Because that's another sister in Christ or brother in Christ that will be with you when you reign and go to heaven. And people buy all this stuff, and they are building underground stuff, thinking that when the rapture happens, they'll be safe. But who's ever saved in doing that, they'll be raptured anyway. They're buying all this nice junk and a bunch of other stuff. But Christians are doing that. But we don't even need that, because we have a better home in heaven. We're going to be with the Lord. And when he comes back, he's going to take out the devil and the Antichrist and everything like that. Personally, I don't like I'm glad we're going to be raptured. But when the Antichrist comes, I was talking to my mom a couple days ago about this, but when he comes, he's going to be like the devil. He's going to be attractive. Mm-hmm. he's going to be of many races and a bunch of other stuff that he's going to be when he comes. But I'm just going to go straight with this, okay? I hope I don't get older, because if I get older and have kids and stuff, then I'm going to have that. But if I'm this young now and the Lord comes back, I'll automatically be an adult anyway in heaven. I mean, there's no sense of growing up here if you're just going to be 33 for the rest of your life. There's no sense. we'll look at verse 2. I'll try not to be as silly as I am, because I'm trying to preach this. Trying to preach it out of my heart and not just for people to laugh and to make and just to have fun. I'm trying to preach to you to get you convicted or to get praying more, serving the Lord more. I'm not here to think, oh, I'm a pretty boy or whatever. Honestly, you guys think I'm pretty and everything? I'm not. I'm not pretty. I'm not. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. That's talking about when we serve the Lord, we come with him with gladness. So, And I can't wait to get there because it says in the Bible that when we get there, he's going to be coming up to us. Hey, what do you want? What do you want to eat? He's going to be a servant to us when we should be the servants to him, and we are here. Yeah. So when people are like, why are you doing that, Lord? Why are you asking me what I want? He's saying, didn't you do what I asked you? And if people do that, and new Christians and everything, about a year or two, they'll be okay, or a couple months. Whatever they're on, if they're on an addiction or anything like that, I hope God convicts them and tells them not to do that, and they probably do, but about some of these Christians that are supposedly saved, go out and live like the world. They're not in church. They don't love the Lord like we do. They don't shout. They just sit there in the corner just, yeah, amen, okay. They don't even shout. They don't give praise to him. They don't raise their hand and thank the Lord and cry over things and their lives and all this other stuff. And then verse 3, now ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So that's talking about how we didn't make ourselves. The Lord made us. The Lord, he's also called God. So God made us and the Lord made us. We didn't make ourselves. The Lord made us, and we're his sheep of his pasture. So while we're here on this earth, he's watching over us, making sure we're okay, making sure we're still in line or anything like that. Brother Ken was talking about today how if there was a liquor store and there was a pack of gum in there he really wanted, is he going to choose to go in there just for gum? And someone from the church comes and sees him and be like, and he even said he hopes that they tell him what he's doing is wrong and what's in that bag. And so after that, and also in drugstores or whatever, they have a smell. So if he had a bag like that and it was just a pack of gum, that scent could get on him. And they think he's drinking or having a fun time with himself and just letting the flesh have fun. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That means that when we enter into his gates, we have to have thanksgiving. That means thanksgiving. And I was just talking about how the Lord's going to come by and he's going to ask you what you want to eat. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. So that means when we enter those gates, there will be no more hurt, no more sorrow, no more deaths or no more Democrats. Thank the Lord.
Thank God, amen.
Republicans, yes, that's the way. They're trying to get Joe Biden and everything like this with the entire thing like this, and we don't need Joe Biden in here because we don't need Donald Trump. All we need is the Lord. He is the president. He's the king. He's the Lord of lords. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning stars. He's everything.
Amen.
Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth is endures to all generations. That's talking about how he's good. When he came on this earth, no man could be sinless. No man. That means he was good. He didn't think of a cuss word or drink or say something wrong or make himself like a fool. Of course we do, because our flesh and we're just stupid inside and everything like that. Psalms 101. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. That's talking about we're going to sing mercy unto the judgment unto thee. So personally, well, not personally, but I think that means that we're going to be singing unto the Lord, which he's the judgment, because he is the judge of us and everyone else. This is also a cool thing that I saw in Revelations, Revelations chapter 22. Sorry if my voice is kind of cracked because I'm hyped up and everything like that. Oh, let's see. Revelation 22, verse 13. I'll wait for you all to get there. Okay, I'm going to start reading now. 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That means the Lord's the Alpha. That means he's the top dog. He's the top one. Omega, I don't really know what that means, but class. Oh, first and okay, yeah. So he's the first and he's the last. So Omega, which they just said he's the last. Like let's say he's the top dog, so he's in the front, but the last he's in the back. Let's just say that. He's the beginning and the end. So when he created the earth, he was the beginning. But when he ended the earth, before this earth, he was the end. Now, he began this earth again and gave us another chance because the Lord is merciful and we don't deserve his mercy. Mercy. We deserve to be in hell and our backs scratched and our eyes open. I don't know how they say that. I scratched out. That's what it is. There you go. We'll look at verse 18. Sorry that I'm being funny because I'm not trying to be. I'm sure every preacher has his funny moments. And which really helped me to get up here and everything. I was praying in my seat, asking the Lord for my nerves to calm down and me to come as pastor, but my flesh was in the way, and then my mom and dad were like, pastor, and then that's how I got up here. So, kids, if you're ever scared, just let your mom and dad handle it. They'll quickly get you up here. Let's see. Okay, 18, sorry. I'm goofing off. Sorry. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So that's talking about the prophecy. So like, not us, but the generation before us, with Moses and all of them, the prophecies. And it's saying that if they add anything unto his book, he's going to add something to their life. He's going to add the plagues that were in the Bible. I'm not going to turn there, but does anyone know where the plagues are in the Bible? Okay, Exodus. Okay. I was kind of hoping you guys raise your hand, but okay. Well, yeah, but still, I got to calm people. I can't just, okay, blurt it all out. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's talking about if any man, if he take away the words of the Lord and put something different, which means the old, like before us, which is, again, Moses and all them, is a prophecy. He said that he shall take up his, that's just crazy how the Lord said if he takes away anything from his old book and his forever book and the book of life, he said that the prophecies, if they take anything, he's going to take the life. I know. His part out of the book of life. So that means he'll take it out. He'll take everything that guy has or whatever was written in that book, including his name. And he will not be saved anymore, and he will be on his way to hell, and the Lord will take him to the edge that well, hell drops, I believe, and take him, and the angels or the Lord or whatever, the Lord can just snap his fingers, and he can magically just be in there if he wanted to. But I'm pretty sure in the Bible that the angels took everyone that wasn't saved and died, and because before we go to hell, we got to go at the judgment seat of Christ. We don't just, well, yeah, that's what I think we do. Of course, I'm a kid, and I don't know anything, so. I still got years to learn, if we're still here. Okay, I'll be a few more minutes, and then I'll be done. And I appreciate this opportunity, Pastor, to preach. Let's see. I'm going to go out, since it's all grown-ups, basically, I'm going to read out of Job, chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 4 all the way to I'll just think of it, but we'll read from 4 to 12, no, 13. We'll just finish the entire chapter. It says in verse 4, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." verse 5, "But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So that's talking about the Lord saying, okay, you can tempt him, and you can test his faith, but you can't touch him, or else you'll be gone. You won't even exist anymore. Or he might exist, but the Lord will have great punishment for him. Because we know in the Bible that Job lost everything he had, and how, I'm not going to say about his wife because we're about to read that, but he lost all of his children and his son-in-laws and his wealth and everything he had, his house, everything. We'll look at verse 7. "So went Satan forth from the prince of the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." So that's saying, so boils are basically like little bumps that have, like big old bumps that have like, I don't know, like pus in them. And when you pop them, it goes boom. It just goes everywhere. we'll look at verse 8. "And he took him a postured to the escape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." Verse 9. This is where I don't like, this is the only part of chapter 2 that I don't like about his wife. She says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." So that's saying, his wife is saying, curse to God and die. Just forget about God and just die. Because back in those days, when that happened, Job was like 90 or in his late 80s or whatever. But they were the... let's see. Okay, this time I'm going to ask a question. You got to raise your hand. Who was the oldest person in the Bible? David. Okay. There's one. I'll get to you, Brother McKinney. I'll get to you. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips." So that's saying, actually, Brother McShane, can you, like, phrase that so people understand that?
Phrase what?
explain it.
Go back to the original Greek.
Verse 10. Okay, that's a good one. okay, huh? After church. You have to take up that up with pastor. He'll give you a dollar. You just got to act like you're one or two. Okay, verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. Philippus and Timonite and Bidad and Shimonite and Zohar the Ninemite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And then we'll finish these two verses and I'll be done. Verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and he knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent one of his mantle and sprinkled dust upon his head towards heaven. Talking about the mantle, recently on August Revival Saturday morning, Israel was talking about how we need to pick up the mantle and keep going. Verse 13, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. So that's talking about how I told Miss Laura, because I was preaching this in junior church, and I told her that I wouldn't be able to sit 7 days and seven nights not speaking or eating or doing something. Because, like, I'm just crazy sometimes. And I need to move around or do something because I can't stay still in one place. And then they saw and grieved him and was very great. So, like, grieving is like, grieving. Oh, okay. And, okay, so it was sorrowful and then it was very great. So, like, I guess that means, like, after that, he was happy. And they just were telling him that it'd be okay just trusting the Lord and just have faith and just trust in him, read your Bible, pray. Yep, that's it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.